It's the beginning of a new year, a new month, a new day. You wake up not to the dreaded finger prick, but to the gentle chirping of birds outside your window. Your body feels light, rejuvenated, free. Your body feels light, rejuvenated, free from the sluggishness that used to cling to your body like a shadow. No more anxiety about blood sugar levels. No more morning anxiety about blood sugar levels and needles. You savour a cup of freshly grounded brewed. You savour a cup of freshly brewed coffee. The taste unmarred by any metallic flavours. This year, your calendar is not dictated by doctor's appointments and dietary restrictions. You conquer challenging hikes. Join your loved ones for adventures. Join your loved ones for spontaneous adventures. And you merry the night away without a care in the world. No more, maybe later, I shouldn't, I couldn't, I mustn't. Life feels boundless, a delicious buffet of possibilities. And you grab the plate with both hands. Food becomes your friend, not a foe. You explore vibrant farmers markets, filling your basket with nature's bounty. You savour ripe cherries that burst with sweetness. Bite into juicy steaks without guilt, and indulge in the occasional slice of cake, knowing it won't send your health into a tailspin. You've rediscovered the joy of replenishing and nourishing your body without shame, without guilt. Food fuels your adventures, not controls them. As the sun sets on this new day, you feel a wave of profound peace over you. You've taken back control of your health, and with it, your entire life back. This year, diabetes is not your story. It's just a chapter that you've closed, you've left behind, so that you are ready to write a new chapter, a new unfolding stories of many possibilities. And the kind of health that allows you to embrace your life fully. My name is Harun Rabbani. I am a professional speaker. I'm a storyteller. I help people create new stories for their lives. I've been helping people learn new skills and transform them into habits that transforms their life for the last 20, 25 years. For nearly 10 years now, I've been working directly with people with health issues, running retreats, helping people with diabetes to reverse them altogether. But here's the problem. Here's the challenge for most people. Enjoying the kind of life that they want is made complicated by the information. Is made complicated by the overload of information and misinformation from all quarters. Life can be easy if you choose to go down that path. In this episode of the Harun Rabbani podcast, I'm going to share with you 5 easy steps you can take to start winning your life back so that diabetes no longer dictates your life, but your life is dictated by you, your hopes, dreams, and aspirations, no matter what age you are currently. Every year, people make New Year's resolutions. They set goals. Anybody who's got diabetes wants to get away from having diabetes, that's for sure. But here is the number one problem when setting a goal that people have. They cannot imagine Here's the number one biggest issue that people have when they've got diabetes. They have forgotten what it looks like to be free of diabetes. If you want to change that, then you've got to start envisioning, what does it look like through your eyes, what the world looks like with you without diabetes? What do you look like in the mirror? What does it sound like? What are people saying to you? What are the kind of conversations you're having? Not the, oh my God, I can't eat this, thank you very much, but no. Or not somebody hitting hard on you and say, hey, stop eating the sugar, stop eating this, stop eating that. No, what are the conversations you're having with people that comes with being full of life, full of vitality, full of energy, with no more diabetes? What does it feel like? What does it feel like having no more sluggishness? What does it feel like having energy? You are not diabetic all your life. At some point in your life, when you were a child, if you've got type 2 diabetes, then you have not always been a diabetic. At some point in your life, maybe for many years or maybe just for childhood, you had energy, you had adventure, you had curiosity. How does it feel like having that kind of energy levels today? Not tomorrow, but today. How does it feel like emotionally? Is it something? How does it feel like internally? How does it feel like internally being free at last? Do you have a sense of inner peace or joy or bliss? What are the feelings you associate with having your life back? And then, what does it smell like? What does good food smell like to you? Remember, the food that is not good for you has a different smell. What does good food smell like to you? What does it taste like? Can you imagine, either creatively or from past experience, imagine what it tastes like tasting food which are healthy for you, which are good for you, which are juicy, succulent, mouth-watering. So the first step for you is every single night when you go to bed, do not go to bed in your mind thinking you're fat, you're obese, you're diabetic, whatever it is that you have in your mind that you're not good enough. Go to bed believing, not thinking, but believing, you know what? I am free. I have energy. I have vitality. My health. I have true health freedom. Envision that before you go to sleep. Because guess what happens? If you spend 5-10 minutes doing that every single night, your subconscious mind plays this out whilst you're asleep. So it's a bit like visualizing for 8 hours, if you sleep for 8 hours. It's like visualizing 8 hours non-stop, playing a movie again and again, and your subconscious eventually believes it. You see, seeing isn't believing, being. You see, seeing isn't believing, believing is seeing. So you've got to start teaching, retraining your subconscious mind, 95% of which drives everything that you think, feel, do, by the way. You got to get it. You got to persuade it that, yes, I am healthy. And then when you wake up in the morning, wake up with the same vision. Spend 5-10 minutes, whether you're lying in bed or whether you've done it after meditation, 5-10 minutes visualizing being free. But then when you do that, also for that day, each day it's different, for that day, ask yourself, what would failure look like for me? So for example, you might wake up and think, yes, I can do this. But then it's not just about positive thinking, it's about also understanding the negatives. Hey, what if I have that one slice of cake? Run through your mind the consequences. What would happen having that one cake or that one snack that is not good for you, by the way? And then you ask yourself, what can I do to prevent that from happening? And so it's now about controlling negative possibilities by avoiding or doing other activities to help you prevent yourself from failing. So think about the positive and the negative consequences and then live your day each day as it comes. That's number one. Visualize you achieving health freedom. This is how you start beginning the art and science of energy management, because that's all diabetes is, by the way. It's managing, it's managing your energy. Number two thing to do is fall in love. Fall in love with food. Not just any food, but the wide variety of food that comes from nature that is good for you. I don't care whether you're vegan, vegetarian, pescatarian, carnivore. Fall in love with good quality food that nature has to offer. And when I say fall in love, I mean start preparing food. Start looking up recipes. I've done tons of videos on my YouTube shorts about what you can do with food that helps people with diabetes. Well, start getting excited and curious. Share the food. You might be rubbish at cooking to start off with. I was terrible when I first started. But then with practice, you will improve. So fall in love with food as if you are falling in love with a romantic partner for the first time in your life. That means you're going to obsess over good quality food. It's not just about eating the food, it's about picking the food. Whether you go to a farmer's market or organic food, obviously some of these things can be expensive. Do your best to get the best quality food that you can, preferably not processed. Preparing the food, washing it, chopping it, fall in love with that. And then eating. When you're eating, savor. Chew the food slowly. It has many health benefits in the digestive process. So, but whilst you fall in love with this new relationship, just like a human relationship, it's very difficult to have two romantic relationships at the same time. You've got to divorce the old stuff. Ditch your former partner, which helped you achieve diabetes status. So that means drop the processed foods, drop the fast foods, drop the snacks, anything that is destroying your health. Get rid of it. Divorce her or him completely. If you've ever been in a relationship, have you heard that saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder? Sometimes you don't want to be hanging around with the food all. Sometimes it's better to step away from food all the time. So what do I mean by that? Create gaps between your meals. Ideally, ideal world, you want to have a gap of 6 hours between meals. Nothing goes in your mouth. Water is fine. Herbal teas are fine. Nothing goes in your mouth between meals. Start off with restricting your time of eating from 12, 14 hours to 10 hours and just reduce that time. So you give yourself only maybe 6 hours, 8 hours to eat, but don't snack in between. So when you do have the food, you can enjoy a truly amazing experience. On the other hand, if you're constantly indulging gluttony, what's that going to do? It'll only make your diabetes worse. So change the relationship of your food. This is all about energy. This is all about building up the right energy stores. You don't want to be building up the energy stores that holds on to toxins. I'm talking about fats, for example, or gives you visceral fats, which means fats around your organs, or bloats up your circulatory system with blood fats, lipids. You want to build up an energy store that you can use for that day. If you want to lose energy, then think about it this way. If you need 2,000 calories of energy a day to survive and you want to lose weight, then all you do is only consume 1,500, 1,600 calories. And if you want to go radical, you can go 1,000 calories. So 50% of your calorific needs come from your food. Or even further radical, go down to 500 calories. So there's many things you can do, but it's all about your relationship with good food. Build, nurture, nourish your relationship with the stuff that supports your health and gives you health freedom, and ditch everything else. The third thing about energy is about energy consumption. Now, when you're asleep, you're consuming energy. Great. When you're just sitting down listening to this or walking around listening to this, you're using energy. You see, every single cell, organ, and system in your body is constantly using energy throughout the day. But there's a certain type of energy consumption that is very, very powerful for a diabetic. One of our great concerns is, of course, blood sugar spikes. So here's how you prevent it. after every meal. So if you've got two meals or three meals a day, after every meal, go for a 15 to 20 minute walk. Because in that walking, you're going to be using your arms, your legs, because we all swing arms and legs as we walk. You're going to be using your shoulders, your spine. You're going to use every body part, and particularly your heart. All of these have got something called mitochondria, energy factories, millions upon millions of energy factories, which need, guess what? Sugar. And so if you've got an excess amount of blood sugar, it will start depleting it. And so whilst it's doing that, your food is getting processed. And then when that releases into sugar into your bloodstream, you don't have a blood sugar spike. It is one of the smartest ways you can use energy. So it's exercise, obviously, of one variety. So my recommendation, if you don't do any exercise at all, then start off with this year, start off with going for a 15 to 20 minute walk after every single morning. Begin the practice of walking after your meals. Definitely after your one or two meals a day, the big ones, go for a 15, 20 minute walk. I'm not talking about when you have a cup of tea and a little fruit with it, go for a walk straight after that. I'm talking about after a main meal. So if you can do that two or three times a day, 15, 20 minutes, you are going to shift your blood sugar levels significantly. That's where you start. The next level is go for a 45 minute walk if you can do all of that stuff I've just mentioned. 45 minute walk will make your body far more insulin sensitive and more likely to be able to control your diabetes far more than you can possibly imagine. And the third one, strongly recommended, when you are ready, then go to the gym or a studio to do either yoga or gym workouts or aerobic exercises. You want to be looking at 150 minutes a week on average. That means less than 3 hours. That means less than 1 hour, three times a week. It's not that difficult. Turn up. There's plenty of opportunity. When I started using the gym back in 1985, there were only bodybuilder gyms around. There weren't all the gyms and the yoga studios or whatever that we have today. So today you have got so many more choices. 50 minutes up to an hour, three times a week of either aerobic exercises or weight training or some form of yoga, which incorporates so many other things, which I won't go into right now. That's energy consumption. How about energy restoration? It comes from the most simplest of acts altogether. Did you know one of the ways to destroy someone's life is sleep deprivation? Sleep deprivation leads to anxiety. Sleep deprivation is very destructive to your kidney, your liver. Sleep deprivation is destructive to your kidneys, your liver, your organs, every single organ of your body, to be honest with you, your brain. It causes anxiety and depression. And it causes blood sugar levels to spike out of control. My friend, sleep is the only time where your body parts start healing, but they don't all heal and restore at the same time. The brain, for example, does its detoxification between the hours of 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. when you are asleep. Not because you're in bed, but you are in deep sleep. Energy restoration is absolutely critical. If you want your organs, your pancreas, your liver, your lungs, everything to work properly, then you need unbroken sleep. So on average, for most people, hardly anyone's, by the way, an exception, you need 7 to 8 hours sleep. Back in the 1980s, Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan, leaders of the UK and the USA, respectively, used to brag on about how few hours sleep they need. I don't know, 3 hours or 6 hours a night. And yet both of them suffered from dementia in later life. Dementia is related to insulin resistance. Insulin resistance, guess what, is the cause of type 2 diabetes. And dementia is considered, and Alzheimer's is considered, and Alzheimer's is considered as type 3 diabetes. They all have the same common cause. So sleep, my friend, is important. If you're going to change any habit, that isn't working for you, then please sleep early. 10 p.m. is a good time to sleep. You still get to detox your brain before 11 p.m. 10 p.m. and then wake up early. Now, if you're having trouble sleeping and you're having trouble waking up, then go and watch my video on how to improve your sleep hygiene. So that was energy restoration. Now let's talk about making your energy more effective. Stress. Stress is a killer. It is the destroyer. Not only does it destroy your mind, it gets you distracted. It gets you to make poor decisions. Think about emotional eating. People who are emotionally eating, they have underlying chronic stress, constant worries. Now, out of all the diabetes clients I've worked with over the years, I test them using various systems and processes, including one of my technologies called the BioWell device. And it shows that stress is high up on their agenda. How do you improve your stress? First one, practice breathing exercises. Most people breathe in the way people are having panic attacks. Breathing in for two, holding for one, breathing out for three. That is like having a panic attack. You want to breathe in for four, breathe out for six, hold for two. That is called ratio breathing. There's a whole bunch of ways you can learn breathing techniques, lots of stuff on the internet that you can look into. If you are interested in learning proper breathing techniques, then I have a training program. If you are interested, by the way, of learning anything that I've covered thus far, I have a full online course that you can access one step at a time to develop the different habits, including breathing and sleep. So practicing breathing exercises is very useful. You can get so much training online or go to a yoga teacher who actually practices breathing techniques. They don't all do that. Or you can join my online course, which I'll talk about a bit later on. Breathing is number one. Number two, mindfulness. Just being aware of emotions as they come up, both negative and positive. Look at the things that are stressing you. Be aware that it's stressing you. Here's an example. When I've worked with people with anger management issues, I don't tell them to stop being angry. I say to them, okay, next time you're angry, just pay attention to the fact that you're angry. Just notice you're angry whilst you're angry. And do it again next time. And do it again. Here's what will happen. Your brain goes, huh? I'm doing this. I'm acting like an idiot. Over time, they learn to manage their anger to the point that there is zero most of the time. As a result, they end up reducing their anger levels to a point where it only comes up now and again. We're all humans, right? We get angry, road rage and whatever. But we don't let the anger dictate our lives. So here is be mindful of your emotions as they come up. Might be sadness, might be grief, might be anger, whatever it is. As they come up, just notice them and ask yourself, is this serving my highest good? Is this serving my health and my happiness? Just ask, don't do anything. That's your starting point of mindfulness. There's so much more you can do, but start at that level. And the next thing, which is something that I've been doing for many years and I've been needing others to do for over a decade, is meditation. What is meditation? It's not about getting silence, zero thought in your head. We're human, right? It's about creating bigger and bigger gaps between your thoughts. These are things that you've got to develop as habits, my friend, because if you practice breathing, meditation, mindfulness, then you are going to be less vulnerable to distractions by other people and other things. You are going to be making better decisions. You're going to hear your true inner voice rather than everybody else's voices. You see, most of us live our lives as if they're not like our lives. We live it based on other people's opinions and gossips and what other people think we should do, ought to do, must do. And even if we think we're making our own decisions, no, you're not. Most of the time, it's parental programming. So if you really want to make a big difference, this is the big one you need to start working on. So let me summarize. There are five habits. So let me summarize. There are five levels of activity you can do to start eliminating diabetes from your life. Number one. envisioning. Number one, beginning with the end in mind, envisioning you are free of diabetes. What does it feel like leaving? What does it feel like living a new life full of energy? Number two, fall in love with food. Have a sexy, gorgeous, delicious relationship with food and be moderate in your consumption of it. Number three, use your body. Unless you've got lots of mobility issues, and you can do something about that, we'll talk about that in another episode, use your body correctly. Walk, run, go to the gym, go swimming, whatever works for you. Our human body has not been designed to be sitting on a sofa, on a bed, all day, every day. It's meant to be out and about many hours every single day. I'm saying to you, just do it at least three times a day, after meals, even if it's a small meal, but certainly after the big meal, go for a 15-20 minute walk. That's the bare minimum. So fourth, sleep. You need to let your body and your mind and your brain, everything rest. And then number five, manage your stress through breathing, meditation, and mindfulness. But how do you develop a lifestyle that supports good health if that's something you've never done? Let me share with you a story. Back in the early 1900s, there was a plastic surgeon by the name of Dr. Maxwell Maltz. He observed how his patients behaved when they had a limb amputation. So he would put a new prosthetic limb, false arm, false leg, and he would observe how long it would take for them to get used to the new arm or leg. And on average, he found it was about 21 days, because if you're used to your own arm and then you lose it and then you have a false arm there, it takes about 21 days to get used to it, apparently. So he came up with a theory that it takes 21 days to form a new habit. And so he wrote a book called Psycho-Cybernetics. This is in 1960, and it was a bestseller. And so many trainers and motivational gurus embraced it with their arms and said, yes, we can form new habits. You can change your life within 21 days. And so people thought of the idea of losing weight in 21 days, building a business in 21 days, all sorts of crazy stuff. But here's what the science says. It's a load of rubbish. People are still perpetuating that myth, by the way. Here's what will happen if you try to lose weight in 21 days. You have all your juices, all your water, whatever fasting regime you do or exercise regime. You will lose weight, of course, if you're on a very restrictive program. And then after 21 days, you go back to normal and then boom, weight goes up. And you know what happens? You think you are the failure and you start getting low self-esteem and your confidence takes a kicking, and then you never try it again. And if you do, you're starting from this point of, oh my God, it's not going to work. And so guess what? It's a perpetual cycle, and you're supporting industry, Slimming World industry and all these Weight Watchers. You're supporting them, making them rich, but you're not really getting that far. Yes, you can lose weight following their programs if you're happy to have a restrictive lifestyle for the rest of your life. In 1990, a psychologist at the University College London, Dr. Philip Alali and her team, wanted to see how long it takes for people to achieve automaticity. That means taking a behavior, making an automatic habit, like brushing your teeth, it's automatic without having to think about it. And they looked at 96 participants over a 12-week period. Here is what they found. It takes on average, that means not a specific number, but an average number of 66 days to form a habit. Whilst Maxwell Maltz believed that it took 21 days to form a habit, Philip Vallali's team, as proper scientific team who studied habits, found that it took not 21 days, but an average of 66 days. Maltz's work emphasized willpower, motivation, and other internal factors. In other words, it's your fault if you can't do it. Whereas Philip Alali focused on environmental factors, the people you're surrounded by, the environment you're surrounded by, and just regular daily practice. Ultimately, Maxwell Maltz's work lacked any scientific evidence, and Dr. Philip Alali's work is all about scientific evidence. My friend, my point is this. I covered 5 different activities you can do to help you to not just control or manage your diabetes, but help contribute towards reversing it this year. Now, the question you might say is, oh my God, do I have to do all of these at once? Actually, no. Here's where I would start off with. Focus on habit number one. Habit number one is going to bed, visualizing that you are already healthy, happy, full of energy. So you allow your subconscious mind to do the hard work for you. They do the heavy lifting. Because what is going to sabotage your work later on is your subconscious mind. So we want the subconscious mind on side. Next thing, you wake up in the morning, you visualize again, 5-10 minutes. That's a great habit. Now, you can integrate the breathing work, so the calmful mindfulness or the meditation or the breathing exercises before you do the visualization. So spend 5-10 minutes doing that and then maybe 5 minutes visualizing. So that's 15 minutes, first thing in the morning and last thing at night. That's habit number one and habit number 5 integrated. Do that for 66 days. The next thing you can do concurrently, because there's actually not that much activities involved here, is just make sure you go to bed early. And the way you make sure you go to bed early is wake up super early, 6 a.m. Wake up no matter, come hell, rain, sunshine, go to wake up at 6 a.m. and start your daily activities. Keep yourself warm and then you will find that you'll want to sleep early. That's the second habit. It doesn't actually involve too much. So already we're doing things which don't take too much energy. The next thing to do, very important, nutrition. Focus on fall in love with food again. Build a relationship with your food, the new healthy lifestyle. Don't try to do it all at once. Do it bit at a time, bit by bit. Once you've developed these, and concurrently, all you need to do without having to go to the gym and everything, just go for a walk after your meals. That's a good starting point. Just go for a walk after your meals. Remember that sunrise and the bird song I mentioned at the top of the episode? Remember the freedom you feel conquering diabetes. Remember the freedom you felt conquering that height. Remember the freedom you felt conquering that hike. Remember the laughter with friends, unburdened by worry. That life, diabetes-free life, is not a distant dream. It's the echo of what each small step you take today whispers. The choices you make, the foods you nurture your body with, the movement you embrace, they're all brushstrokes in the masterpiece of your life and your health. They're all brushstrokes. They're all brushstrokes in the masterpiece of your health. This year, 2024, isn't just a calendar page in your life. It's a blank canvas and you, my friend, are holding the brush. Paint your masterpiece. Paint your masterpiece, stroke by delicious, nourishing stroke. Paint it with movement, with laughter, with the vibrant colours of a life unchained. Remember, your life is more about blood sugar control. If you are interested in shifting that, then you need to develop habits. You've got several ways to do it. One, do it alone. It's hard work, but it can be done and it can be easy. Just follow these steps. The other thing is go and get a therapist or a coach. I do that. I have a team of people who do that. Or do my online course. If you want to get a preview of the online course, then click on the description below about the road to diabetes. Click the link below for the road to diabetes health freedom. It's a preview to my online training course, which I strongly recommend. Of course, I would for you to do if you want to get your life back. You are the author of your health. You are the author of your health. You are the author of your health story. And this year, the plot twist is glorious. You win. You win your life back.